Well, good morning, everybody. I am fired up to be with you guys today. Come on, how many of you are excited to be in church today? Oh, come on, you could do better than that. And, you know, what an honor it is to be with you at Key Point. And I do want to say thank you so much to you as a church and for all the resources that you sent when we were going through that tough time. Almost a year ago, our little city got more rain than any of the cities there in the Houston area. 61 inches of rain fell, and there was water coming out of everywhere. We were in boats. It was crazy. I'm just telling you. So be glad that hurricanes don't come to Northwest Arkansas. Amen, everybody. And my wife and I, we do have the privilege of pastoring Faith Family Church, which is an ARC church. We're part of the same family. Hello, I'm your weird cousin from Texas. And we started 3.5 years ago, and what God has done there has been truly amazing. We are blown away by his faithfulness. Nearly 1,800 people every weekend are coming to worship with us, and we just give God praise for the lives that are being changed, and thank God for the overseers that he has given us, the relationships that we have, like with your pastor, Pastor Casey and Stacy. We just honor them. We just think the world of them. We met 10 years ago or more whenever I was teaching at a youth camp up in Michigan. Pastor Casey had been the speaker there for years. He passed the baton off to me, and I said, there is just something about this guy I like, and we've stayed in contact all these years. And whenever I knew that we needed an overseer, we needed three of them, I knew, hey, one of those guys, first one on the list was Pastor Casey Hennigan. So I call him often when those questions arise, that they come and I need wisdom. He's the first one I call. So I thank God for his steady source of encouragement, wisdom, guidance that he has provided us. Aren't you grateful for your pastors? Will you just join me and let's honor them today? We love them. Well, let's get into the message this morning. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would say that living out your dreams and experiencing progress in life is easier said than done, right? I mean, it's easier said than done. And if you're like me, there are times where you want the progress to show up, you want to move forward, but when it doesn't happen as fast as you hoped it would, or it doesn't happen at all, it's easy to get discouraged, isn't it? It's easy to want to throw in the towel and give up. Anybody ever try to lose some weight up in here? Like the first day of your diet, your coworker at home, he's straight up bringing a box of Krispy Kreme up in there. You're like, well, I guess I'm starting tomorrow. It's on now. It's on. You ever try to save some money, ladies? And then you're like, we're on a budget, Dave Ramsey, baby. Then you show up at the mall, Nordstrom, Dillard's having their blowout sale. You're like, we saving next season. Not this season. Ever been, maybe you're here and you're wanting your marriage to get better. You're like, man, I need my marriage to get better. And the only problem is your spouse won't change and do everything you tell them to. It's just like, what's up with that? Some of y'all are just trying to have a spouse, you know. Any single folks in the room today? Come on, let me see your hand. Single folk, keep it up. If you're single, I'm trying to help you right now. Look around. Looking around like, I think she's the one. No, you're a stalker. Stop. So we try to make progress and live out this dream, but many times for every one step forward we take, it's like we're taking two steps back. It's like life, this journey can feel like one uphill battle. And today we're going to talk about a Bible character that I really, really love. I love how he accomplished so much in spite of the impossible odds that were against him. I guess you could say that his life was like one big fight. One battle after another. Some of you can identify with that today, where you feel as though life has just been one battle after another. Maybe you win one, and then you find that there's another waiting. And it's frustrating, and it's very, very challenging to us. But Joshua, this guy we're talking about today, he never gave up. He never gave up, and his life gives us a blueprint, a strategy, if you will, a picture of how we can inherit the promises that God has for our lives. The things that he has promised us in his word. The things that he has promised us in our spirit. And today I want to share a message about how you're going to have to fight for that future. How many of you are ready to learn how to fight for your future? Possess the promises that God has for you. Let me hear you say, oh yeah, today. Come on, Key Point. All right, Galatians chapter number 3. If you can't tell, I like a little interaction today. It'll make it more fun. Remember, if you don't like it, I won't be here next week. And so Galatians 3, verse number 29, this is where we find the answers in God's word. Paul's writing. He says, and now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. and you are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Now, this sounds awesome, right? I mean, promises, God, the only problem is, who's Abraham? What's the promise, right? Well, Abraham's known as the father of faith. And when he was just a confused young adult living in a mud hut in a little town called Haran, God appeared to him, talked to him, spoke to him, said, listen, Abram, I'm going to make you great, and you are going to be a great blessing to the world. Ended up changing his name to Abraham, led him out of that place. He said, I'll show you where we're going, and when we get there, you'll know all about it. And we know that from Abraham's life and through his lineage, his family line, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born. And how many of you would say that God's promise to Abraham has indeed come to pass, that the entire world has been blessed through Abraham's life because of Jesus? Amen, everybody? So God blessed Abraham more than he even thought he could be blessed. And you say, what does that mean to me? Is that God wants to do something bigger and better in your life than you even realize. That he's chosen you, that he's got his hand on you, that he has a promise for your life that he can bring to pass if you'll dare to believe him for it. But this great future that God has for you, it's not going to come to pass without a fight. It's a fight of faith, and we see this in the story of the children of Israel and the life of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, I'll kind of give you a background here. They being the children of Israel, are on this journey. They are on a journey which should have taken them 11 to 13 days, but it had turned into a road trip gone bad. It is now 40 years later, and they were lost. No Apple Maps, Waze, Google Maps, they're lost. No great truck stops around. I mean, it was just wandering around. But now they're on the verge of stepping over this Jordan River and taking this promised land that God had for them, a land that he said it was theirs. All they had to do was go and take it. So Joshua 1:11, it says, 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Notice God instructs Joshua to go and take possession of the land he is giving them. Now, which one is it? Is it a give or a take? You giving it to me? Or am I going to have to take it? God says it's a little bit of both. You see, you're always going to find that you have a part to play in the promise-possessing process. How's that for alliteration? Y'all don't think Texans could talk like that. But there's a part that you and I have to play. There's a role, a responsibility, if you will, for us to live with the kind of faith and action that causes God's promises to come out of heaven into our lives. This is what God wants to do for each and every one of us. He said, Joshua, the future is bright. It's tremendous. It's going to be great, but it's going to be a fight. Josh, what does the dream for my life look like, you may be asking? Maybe you're here and you're wanting to know more direction about your life. What does the future look like? I can't tell you all the details. That's not what I'm here to do. But I can tell you this, that it'll be a combination of two things, blessings and battles. There are going to be some blessings in it. There are going to be some battles, some things that you are going to have to fight. And I can tell you this as well, that it is bigger and better than you ever thought it could be. You see, that's what God does. He knows how to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. It's like whatever dream you can come up with in your heart, God says, I can top that. I can do something bigger. Speaking of bigger, one of the places I like to go in Texas is a place called Whataburger. Anybody know about Whataburger in here? Yes, it will be in heaven. Hallelujah. And, you know, as I approach the counter there, whatever you want to call it, I go to make my selection. I got, you know, they ask me, what do you want? I say, number two. That's my go-to. Number two. That's double meat with cheese, bacon. Come on, getting around lunchtime. Anybody getting hungry in here? I mean, we got to do it right and do it big. And then they ask me this question, which is always kind of like, why are you asking me this? You know me on a first name basis. Do you want to water size it? And I'm like, yes, I do. Absolutely. Which means you get larger fries and a larger drink. Not that I need them, but I want them. And so my family makes their order. I got two boys, Caleb and Tyler. One is going into ninth grade. The other is going into sixth grade. And my wife, Karen, and I will be married this September. We're celebrating 18 years of marriage. Isn't that awesome? You're like, we got married when we were 14, in case you're wondering how old I am. That's legal in Texas. And so we make our order, go to the table with a little table marker they give you, and we just wait anxiously anticipating what is to arrive. And I'm sitting there, and I get excited when the tray comes out because I can see my fries coming. You see, these fries that are water size are not just in a bag laying down. They are in a box standing up, and they sit on the tray, and it's like they're reaching up and worship unto God. I don't know. Just bear with me. And so it's like a cool experience. And, you know, so my family gets their fries, and it never fails. Those knuckleheads get done with their fries. They just got the regular fries. And they always want to try to test Dad. Can I sneak some of his fries? They find out just how fast and how hard I can slap them. Because I will slap you if you try to take my fries. Is that all right, Dads? I mean, guys, your fathers know what I'm talking about. Because you could have opted for the larger fries, but you chose the regular old fries. The fries that are just laying down in a bag. Looking busted and disgusted. But my fries were bigger. And well, you say, Josh, where in the world are you going with this? Let me just challenge you with this thought. Some of you are just taking whatever life brings you. You're just wanting a regular old life. When God's saying, I'm trying to water-size your life. I'm trying to do more than you thought I could do. Start dreaming bigger. Start praying bigger prayers. Start looking for greater ways to be a blessing to the world around you. Stop settling for just average and mediocre because you're not average. You're not mediocre. You're my child. And I want to bless you. So God's wanting to do some great things, but how does that come to pass? I want to give you four things from Joshua's life today that I think can be helpful as you possess the promises that God has for you. The first one is this, is you're going to have to stop looking back. If to move forward, you're going to have to stop looking back. In Joshua 1, verse 2 and 3, it says this, Moses, my servant, is dead. Very important. Because Moses and Joshua had been like ride or die for the last 80 years. They had been tight with one another. Moses was the mentor. Joshua was the apprentice. Now Moses is gone. Joshua is tasked with the great responsibility of taking a million people. So more than I mean, could you imagine with this and to this responsibility across the Jordan River into this promised land? So he's processing that. And God's saying, now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. He says, I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses. Moses is gone. Joshua's got to figure out what's next. How many of you know you can't move forward if you're looking back at the same time? And there's a danger of getting stuck in the past, too, actually. One, you can get stuck in the good old days. You ever met somebody always talking about them good old days? Well, I'll tell you what, boy, back in 1957. Hey, that was awesome, man. We got the pictures of 1957. But how many of you know God's doing something in 2018 today? Amen, everybody? He's doing something fresh, something new. So you can get lost in what God did and miss what God is doing. God's wanting to do something now. God's wanting to do something today. So we can get stuck looking at the good old days, but we can also get stuck looking in the pain of our past, the mistakes. If you're like me, you've made decisions you're not necessarily proud of. Decisions that may have brought you pain because it was just not what God wanted you to do. Sometimes other people make decisions that bring us pain and we have nothing, it's not any responsibility of our part, but how many of you know sometimes life brings things to your table you don't order off of its menu? So now all this stuff is can happen and we can get stuck back in the pain of your past. Can I just remind you of something today? You can't unscramble those eggs, can you? You can't unscramble those eggs. You've heard that before? That saying before, you can't unscramble the eggs. But I'll tell you what you can do. Being from Texas, I like this. You can take those eggs to Jesus. He knows how to put a little queso on there, little pico de gallo. Y'all kind of catching a food theme to the message today. I'm getting hungry. And he can make your life something beautiful. He can make your life something delicious, if you will. But you can't get stuck, and some of you need to know this today, is that you're not what you did. The mistake is that you made, that's not you. No, God says something different about you. God knows how to make old things new. He knows how to bring dead things to life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Come on, somebody needs to know today that today is a new day. Today is a new day for you. Today is a day of a new beginning, a fresh start. And if you don't let your past die, it won't let you live. You've got to step forward into what God has for you. In Philippians 3, Paul echoes this. He says, brothers and sisters, he said, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. What is that? That thing that God has for me. He says, but this one thing I do. Like, I've got this figured out. I'm forgetting what is behind, and I am straining to what is ahead. That is a strong word there. I am pushing. I am striving. I am straining to what is in the future. There's something out there. And God, I want you to bring it to pass in my life. So we can't live in the past. And then the second thing we have to do is we have to start out in faith. We have to start moving. Some of us are praying, waiting on God. God's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to take a step. And I like that word start because that's what faith requires. It requires action. It requires us to begin to do things that we can control. Many people think faith is simply believing. I have faith. Faith is more than just your doctrine. It's more than your belief system. No, it's your lifestyle. It's your actions that are joined to what you say you believe, that you're living this thing out. You're living it out day by day. In Joshua 1:9, this is what God said to Joshua. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In verses 6, 7, and 9, God had to remind Joshua to do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Was it because Joshua wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer? Was it because he didn't understand what God was saying? No, I believe it's because God knows that there are so many things that can show up in our life that want to cause us to retreat in fear instead of advance in faith. There are so many things that want to discourage us, to take the courage out of us, to begin to move forward into what he has for our lives. And God was reminding him, saying, Joshua, there's going to be so many things that are going to try to get you to retreat. But fear will keep you stuck in the desert while faith is calling you into the promised land. Faith's calling you into your new day, your new beginning, the promises of God for your life. I'll never forget when Karen and I started the church 3.5 years ago. We had begun to gather a group of people. Maybe you were back here at Key Point in the days where it was started, and this miracle of a church that sits here today all these years later. But I remember we were starting this church. We had some people meeting. We were just meeting. We weren't even having service, not even singing Kumbaya. We were just sitting and meeting in a hotel meeting room talking about a church that God was going to give us. And I remember one day we came in and we said, folks, we are purchasing 70,000 mailers and we're going to mail these out to the community. Now, there was a small group of people in the room, 75 to 100. And we didn't have a whole lot. We weren't like, you know, had all these resources, more than we could, you know, handle. No, it was just we were being very, very tight, if you will, frugal. But I remember how much that cost. And I remember the people looking at me like, I hope this works. You better be right, boy. You know. And I'll be honest with you. On the night before we launched, I remember sitting there having a moment with my wife. And all I could do was apologize, Kara. I'm so sorry I did this to our family. We had a good job, a good church family, and here I am. We don't even know if anybody's going to show up tomorrow. Why? Because the enemy's saying, nobody's coming tomorrow. Nobody's showing up to your church. Nobody cares about your church. And this voice was in my head, and I was thinking here, oh my, you know, what are we going to do? I was like, I told her, I will work at Walmart. You guys like Walmart here? I'm like, I will work at Walmart. Stocker, 24-hour, the graveyard shift. We'll live with my parents. Maybe our old pastor will give us our old jobs back. And I'm thankful for a wife that's got more faith than I do. She said, God's going to make it happen. Don't you worry about it. You just get up and preach your best message. Can I tell you something? Next morning, my heart had some doubt in it, but by the end of the day, I couldn't help but celebrate. 603 people showed up on day number one. God always does more than you think he's going to do. He's just looking for somebody to take a step of faith, to begin to move out. So here they are. They're on the banks of the Jordan River. Not for the first time, but for the second time. You see, the first time they blew their chance, they didn't believe God. That was 40 years earlier. But aren't you glad we serve a God of the second chance, everybody? Come on, how many of you are glad that God's grace has given you a second and a third chance? Don't look at me like you're all religious and like you ain't ever made a mistake. He's the God of the fifth chance. Some of y'all are like, hey, can we go higher? I mean, it's just we've had our moments with that we need the second chance. And here they are, and they're there, and they're on this verge of the Jordan River. And Joshua knew something. The moment they crossed that river, it was going to be an act of aggression. Because on the other side were seven enemy nations, all of which had greater armies. It was an act of war moving forward. All hell was going to break loose. Anytime you take a step of faith towards God, there's going to be conflict. And Joshua knew conflict was inevitable. He had no idea how long it was going to last. And here we have the children of Israel. He's probably thinking, these people can't fight. They know how to make bricks. They've been building pyramids for the last 400 years. But this is, these people are slaves. They don't know how to fight. And now we're going to go fight. There are all types of reasons, kinds of reasons why we attempt to talk ourselves out of what God is trying to do in our life. I don't have the education. I don't have the resources. I don't have the connections. I don't have this. I don't have that. Let me remind you of what you do have. You have a word from God. You've got a God that loves you, that's fighting your battles for you. He is an almighty, all-powerful God. And if you'll dare to believe him, he will bring you victory in every area of your life. So Joshua had to know, hey, we're going to have to move forward, but this is going to be tough. This is going to be a fight if we're going to get through this. Now, they're there, and it's important to note the historians and the scholars tell us that the springtime, when they were crossing, that the river was at flood stage. I've been to the Jordan River. I've been baptized there. It's usually about 100 feet across, 20 feet deep. Not all that impressive, to be honest. They tell you to close your eyes and do not open them because the river's so nasty. Do not do that. And so they're there. It's nothing really impressive about it if it was a regular time. But now at flood stage, it's 4 to 5 times its normal size. And you've got elderly people, you've got babies, you've got animals, you've got all this that you're trying to cross. And he's probably thinking, how are we going to figure this one out? I don't got no engineers to build a bridge real fast. Okay, he comes up with this plan. God gives him an idea. Look here in Joshua 3, verse number 15. It says, we're going to send the associate pastors out. The priests. Yeah, that's what a good lead pastor will do. Hey, we'll send the associates out and see what happens. And as soon as the priests who carried the ark, which was a piece of furniture that contained the presence of God. That's not like an ark boat. It's an ark. Okay, it's a piece of furniture. And they reached the Jordan, and their feet touched the water's edge. Verse 16, important. The water from upstream stopped flowing, and it piled up a great distance away. Okay, so they walk in. I can only imagine being one of the priests, and I'm carrying this. I'm like, Joshua, what did I ever do to you? Who made him mad? So here we go, but it's just representing that the presence of God goes before us. He's with us every place that we go. And then they step their foot in, and it says that the stream stopped flowing upstream. They say that that was actually 17 to 19 miles upstream at a place called Adam. Would you agree that it takes a long time for 17 miles of water to empty out? So they're up to their ankles. Okay, when's this going to get better? They're up to their knees. They're up to their waist. And you know there's somebody in the back hating, right? Like, I knew this wasn't going to work. Every time you take a step towards the things of God, there's going to be someone in the background of your life trying to tell you every reason why you can't do it. That Jesus thing, you're going to what church? What's that about? What do you think, you're a holy roller now? You know, you think your life's going to be all rainbows and unicorns now? I mean, there's always somebody in the background. But how many of you know you just got to keep pressing forward? 17 miles, it finally clears out, and all these people walk across. What's God teaching us? That the miracle that we're believing for many times takes longer than we want it to take. And although it may not show up on our time, it shows up in God's perfect time. He always has a way of showing up in our life. And the first step is always the hardest. What's your next step? There's a next step for you. Maybe it's to take starting point after service today and to join this church family. Because how many of you know church isn't an event you attend? It's not something you check off the list. It's not an event. It's a family you belong to. A family where everybody finds their place and loves others and gets loved. And maybe it's you leading a life group this fall. Maybe it's getting involved in a life group, joining a serve team. Maybe it's creating a business plan because God's given you a promise for your business, your education. Maybe it's time for you just to apply. Come on. Maybe if you're trying to get a date, maybe just that farmersonly.com account gets started. I mean, there's something that you have to do. So there's steps that you have to take. The third thing now that they've crossed, they're getting ready to cross, it's time to step up and fight. It's time to step up and fight. They just walked across on dry ground. First stop, Jericho. You know, just when we think we've got a cross, then there comes a fight, right? Like, I didn't know serving Jesus is going to be hard. I thought he's just going to make all my dreams come true like the guy on TV says. Well, I'm just going to tell you right now, Jesus never promised us a life without battles. He promises us victory in life's battles. He's there with us in the middle of the storm, when we're crying tears, when we're upset, when we don't know where to go, when we're frustrated and banging our head against the wall, wondering what's next. No, he's there with us, and he's there to provide. He's there to bring victory. Why? Because he's a good and loving father. He's a good savior, and this is what he does. But now they're ready to fight, and Paul says this. He says, you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. You're going to have to take hold of the eternal life, that we're going to have to make it your own. Eternal life doesn't begin the moment you check out here on planet Earth and get your angel wings and go to heaven with your harp. People get weird ideas about heaven. No, no, no. It's not then when eternal life begins. Eternal life begins the moment you say yes to Jesus. And the life of God fills you, but you have to make it your own. It doesn't just get on the inside of you. You have to take hold of it. I got to get a new way of thinking. I got to get a new way of doing relationships. I got to have a new way of handling my money. I've got a new way of every part of my life. Jesus, come on into every part. I'm taking hold of it. I want you involved in my life. And now they're getting ready to fight these enemies. And Joshua knew who they were because Moses had told him about them. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1, earlier, years before, Moses said this to you, when the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess, and drives out before you the many nations, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, Cellulites. Seven, that's not in there if you're wondering. Seven nations larger and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you and you have totally defeated them, then you must destroy them. I did some research on the names of these people groups. The Hittites. That word is rooted, gets its meaning from terror. Some of us have to overcome fear to inherit God's promises. Because every time you think about taking a step, you start thinking of every reason why you can't do it. The Girgashites, that means clay dwellers, those that built their homes on unstable foundations. You ever met somebody that's a little unstable? Listen, God knows how to bring stability to our life. He doesn't want us up, down on this roller coaster of emotion. He wants to take us from glory to glory to glory. Come on, how you know it's just getting a little bit sweeter, sweeter and sweeter is how the song used to say. Then the Amorites, they represent pride. Some of us have to humble ourselves in order for God to do what he wants to do in our lives. Canaanites were financial giants in their time. It may be materialism is what you're going to have to overcome. It may be being selfish. God wants you to learn to be generous and learn how to bless others. The Perizzites are the ones that means low self-esteem. And someone needs to be reminded today, you're not just a nobody. I don't care what people have told you. You need to be reminded today that you are a child of the Most High God, that you are loved by God, that God sent his son to die just for you. I mean, he loves you. You're somebody. You're important. The Hivites, they represent sensual indulgences, only live for the moment. How many of you know sometimes we turn to the dark shadow areas of our lives to try to feel good when we're going through something, the addictions of our lives, the things that we're ashamed of, the things that we get online and view, the chemicals, the substances, how much we drink. Many times we can try to find relief in other things, and those things can become chains on our life. I'm here to tell you today, I believe by the Spirit of God, you can be completely and totally set free in Jesus' name from any chain, any addiction, any darkness that the enemy has brought onto your life. And some of you are going to have to get over that in order to step into God's best. The Jebusites represent legalism and religion. How many of you know that denominational religious Christianity doesn't necessarily bring us a whole lot of life, does it? Jesus didn't come to bring us laws. He came to bring us life. I was raised in a religious, very legalistic home. And man, we kind of became about the cans, the cannots, the do's, the don'ts. And before long, I realized, hey, there's no beauty in this. Because laws never... they never really bring us life. And I remember my parents telling me, say, you know, you don't smoke or chew or hang with those that do. Drink, smoke, or chew, or hang with those that do. And that's what it had become about. We didn't dance. We didn't go to dances. We didn't believe in them. We didn't believe in premarital sex because we thought it might lead to dancing. I mean, I don't know. Legalistic home. Listen, God's wanting somebody to know that serving Jesus isn't about what you have to give up. It's about all that he wants to bring into your life by his grace, the beautiful things. So put to death those things that are robbing you of God's best. And the last point today, and I close with this, is that you're going to have to stay focused. Joshua would be fighting for the next 25 years of his life. And God told him, he said, I want you to stay focused. Do not turn from the right or the left. Keep your eyes on this law that I've given you. What was the law? It was the scriptures that they had at that time, the word of God. And when you start moving forward and you're fighting battles with God's help and you're advancing, moving your family forward, moving your marriage forward, moving your business forward, and all these things that God's doing in your life, there's going to be so many opportunities to get distracted, to get sidetracked spiritually. But that's when you have to remember, no, I've got a word from God. That God said his plan is good for my life, not evil. Plans to give me a hope and a future. He wants to prosper me. No, I'm believing for this. I know my family doesn't look like it should look right now. I know my marriage doesn't look like I want it to look right now, but with God's help, we're going to have this. I'm focused today. I'm focused. And lastly, really where it all begins, if you want to kind of go to this, is it begins when we surrender our life to God. You see, before they stepped foot into the water, before they moved in their journey, Joshua told his people this. He said, listen, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate means to set apart, to dedicate all of it to God. You see, when I dedicate my life to Jesus and I give him my life, I give him every part of me, it's then that the amazing starts to happen. It's then that the beautiful things begin to happen in my life, and Jesus begins to undo the brokenness of my past. He begins to heal and restore and revive my dreams. He begins to do things for me that I could never do for myself. You say, Josh, that sounds too good to be true. It is. That's why it's called grace. That's why we call it amazing grace. It's something we can't earn this. It's not by our works that we're saved, but we're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. And today, some of you are going to accept that gift for the very first time. I believe that. You're going to say yes to Jesus, a decision that you have to make. I can't make it for you. No one can do it for you. But there's a day that you can open up your heart to God, and I believe that day is today for some of you. Others of you, you've accepted Jesus into your life, but you're feeling like today, I'm not where I want to be in my walk with the Lord. Maybe you've gotten distracted. Maybe tough times have come, painful things. Maybe things have crept back into your life from your past. And you feel like, man, I need to recommit my life to Jesus today. I can't think of a better day to do it. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Maybe you're here and you say, Josh, I need to make a decision to surrender my life to Jesus. I need to say yes to him. I need to know that I have peace with God and that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't want to leave here the same way that I came. Maybe you're here and you say, Josh, I've done that before, but I want to recommit my life to the Lord. I need a fresh start. I need a new beginning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand or come to the front. I'm not going to drag it out. But I want to know who I'm praying for today. If you say, Josh, that's me, include me in that prayer, Josh. I want to know that I'm right with God, that heaven is my home. On the count of three, would you lift your hand up real high all over this place? 1, 2, 3. Just lift it up all over this place. Thank you. God bless you. Hands going up. Keep it up if you don't mind so I can see it. I'm scanning the audience. Thank God for you. Thank God for you and all these here, a whole row almost. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Josh, pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you would place your hand on your heart, and I'd like to lead us all in this simple prayer. Simple yet powerful prayer that I believe can change your life forever. Pray this in faith with me, would you? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, let's all pray together. I can hear you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending your son Jesus to die for me. I believe he rose from the dead. Jesus Christ, come into my life. I want you my Lord and my Savior. And I thank you, God, for loving me, for choosing me to be a part of your family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on, Key Point, let's celebrate today. Put your hands together.